Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so now we're getting into the nature of the material energy. So the question comes is, how does the Lord then create? It means he is beyond the creation, so therefore how does he create this creation? How is that done? So then the answer is he's doing that through the material energy. Right? Matter is the illusory potency, Maya, which controls the modes of nature and creates a variety of forms and actions from the lowest to the highest. Commentary. Here the Supreme Lord's potency is named Maya. In the Sweta Sutara Upanishad 4.10, it is said, although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the Supreme Magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshvara, the Supreme Controller. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes, purport to Mantra 5. The fact is that there is nothing but God within and without. Everything is a manifestation of his different energies, like the heat and light emanating from a fire. And in this way, there is a oneness among his diverse energies. Although there is oneness, however, the Lord in his personal form still enjoys unlimitedly all the pleasures enjoyed minutely by the tiny part and parcel living entity. Right? So this whole fineness of that there's the Lord, through his energies, he's controlling everything. He's in every atom, in between every atom. So it means he's conscious of it all at the same time. He as himself, in his original form, then enjoys pastimes with his devotees, and he has nothing to do with all this material creation. Right? Does that make sense? So this is important to be able to accommodate. If that is understood, then everything works very nicely. If it's not understood, it doesn't work so well. Right? There'll be a lot of difficulties to comprehend. That's why all the different philosophies are there, because they can't comprehend this. Does that make sense? Like that. They'll take the oneness, you end up with the monists, you'll get the difference. Then you'll end up with the deism, where he is, you know, completely beyond the creation. So that means the material energy is supreme, and that, and the living entities then are parts and parcels of this material energy. You end up with all these different problems because no one can put these together, right? Because then there's the problem: is if God is all good, it's all here. Why is it going badly? Therefore, he's not actually in control. So why should we actually even worship him? Or, you know, it depends upon our activities, so therefore if we perform the activities, then we have to get the result. So therefore then God just takes care of all that. Does that make sense? You know? Same time as he's a person, but he has no form. You know, like that. You know, so it's like that. Where he's the element of the formless, that's where then they put the attributes. When you get into the spiritual, then they put no form. But it should be the opposite. You know what I'm saying? So this is the difficulty, is that when one accepts a chintabheda-bheda tattva, then all this works very, very nicely. You can appreciate how the Lord has expanded everywhere, is conscious of all things at the same time as separately performing his own pastimes. Right? This is God. That's what he can do. Like that. Because it's not a matter of place. You have to remember, if God's everything, then he is, you know, just everything is within him, right? So it's not that, you know, there's here and there for him. It's just he exists, and all these different aspects exist, right? Then within that, then he'll expand them in such a way that there is seemingly a time and space. You know what I'm saying? But actually, it's all within him. Does that make sense? You're conscious of your whole body. You know? And so it all goes on and things happen, whatever it needs to do. At the same time, you have your interest and you particularly perform activities. Does that make sense? So your performance of activities, that what's going on the end of your little toe doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So we have the same kind of, you know, mentality. we're conscious of the whole body, but then there is the element of what we want to do, how we want to be involved. You know, we're doing something with our head, or we're doing something with our hand, or with our foot. It doesn't mean that we're not conscious. While we're doing something with our hand, doesn't mean we're unconscious of our foot. Does that make sense? It's just there's not an interest. Both go on. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So it's not a different principle. Because it's all part of you. You don't see it as separately. Right? But now you have a little dinky bug inside, a little germ inside, then he's, you know, somewhere sitting there in your stomach. And then there's, you know, this whole other thing going on in a hand or something. So for him, there's a great big time and space and all these different things. That makes sense? But for you, it's just all one thing. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay, so then the basic principle, the material elements, those are the basic principles. Everything's based on that, so it's all Krishna's potency. And then the Bhagavatam's talking about you have the finest particle, ultimate particle is the atom. Right, it's indivisible, meaning that that's the way it's going to remain, all the elements that are created from this. So even when there's dissolution, all the atoms remain. And then when there's recreation, they're all put back into form. So all forms are created from these atoms. Right? That's why there's a problem if you try to open an atom. Right? You know, because they're not supposed to be. The natural state, they will stay the way they are. Does that make sense? So... Does this make sense why this is being brought up? Because we want to know how is it that the Lord is creating? And you want to know how is it that, you know, all this goes on? How do we keep it in perspective? What is the material energy? So material energy is dead matter, right? That is made up of atoms, that's formed together into these, you know, 24 elements, right? And then that is then what... From that, then all the different forms are created. So atoms into elements into forms. Right? And then it's dissolved again. And so that's all there is. There's not something more. Otherwise we think it's more mystical. The mystical part is Krishna. Right? Krishna is the one who's entered into everything with his potency. That's why that's all you're dealing with, is just atoms. So unless Krishna enters into it and empowers it, how all this dead matter is going to do anything? Right? Yes, subtle material elements are also made up of atoms. See, this is beyond what these other guys know, because they're saying, unless it's they can perceive, that it's also made up. So those are just the, you know, earth or different things. Because there's a whole thing with them. They have that and how many is inside, you know, the protons and neutrons. And depending upon, I think the protons makes the element, then depending upon the neutrons, then it has your different, what is it, isotopes. So it's like different forms of it. Like there's like, I think, 3 forms of carbon or 5 forms of carbon and this and that. So this way they get up so many. They found their way to put it together, but some of these are gases, some of these are solids, some of these are liquids, some of these are, you know, all these different things. And then, but then they haven't even come across, you know, mind, intelligent, ego, or, you know, these kind of things. So then, you know, how are they going to put all this together? So, you know, it's more of a, they have more to learn, right? Like that. Because they're trying to, how is this atom's created, but they have no idea how the atoms turned into the 16 items is turned into the forms, right? They know something's going on, but they can't tell what's going on. You know, it's like there's a puppet show going on, but you can't see the strings, so you're trying to analyze the puppet and see why it moves. But they have no idea about the strings. So they'll never know. If you take a puppet and don't know the strings, you can analyze it for a million years, you'll never understand how it moves. But if you understand the strings, you don't have to analyze the puppet, it's automatic. Then the real study of the puppet is the puppet master. So if we understand Godhead and how he's functioning, then we understand how all this world works. Does this make sense? The strings would be metaphysics, and so therefore you can understand there's someone controlling. So that's the whole idea of metaphysics, is to take you back to the Supreme, right? Understand the soul, understand the conditioned nature, understand the Supreme. In other words, all that we're studying, that's supposed to be gained from being observant of the metaphysics, right? Then you can see in the physical, right? The metaphysical, or in the exoteric, you can see the esoteric. That's the whole idea, is that now we see external, that's all we see. But it should be, when you see the external, you see within it the potencies that are working and back to the Supreme Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the actual then Brahman understanding. And so if you're focusing more on the potencies, that's the Brahman aspect, about the person who's managing those potencies, or let's say not managing, approving, and providing, then that's Paramatma. But if we see back to the person where all that's coming from, then that's Bhagavan. So in other words, from this, it reminds you, you see that, and then it'll remind you of the Lord's pastime. I'm saying he's doing this, and that's so wonderful, that's because of his kindness, and then that goes right back into his pastime. You know what I'm saying? So that's the natural thing, is from anywhere you can see Krishna, and from anywhere you can go back to Krishna as a person. That's why it's always brought up. It's never just mentioned just the Brahman on its own. It's always that there's the Brahman element, and then there's Krishna as a person. Because just to understand the Brahman element isn't going to be actually beneficial. You understand? It's not going to be really beneficial. The actual benefit is going to be gained when you understand all that in connection with the Supreme. Right? So that's why we can deal with all these different philosophies in their natural state, because the real parts of all the philosophies are our philosophies. The problem is they've taken parts of the philosophy and then misapplied it. They've come to the wrong conclusions due to their material conditioning. Right? Does that make sense? It's annoying when the guy's just sitting there in one place. Okay? You understand why this is always mentioned? It's a very major point. Krishna's saying he's created everything, he's entered into everything, he's in control of everything, and you can see him in everything, but you should also see him as a person. Right? So that way then directly as a person and indirectly through his potencies, you're always seeing the Lord. Right? That's your chaturshloki. So the process of devotional service is to endeavor to always see Krishna in everything. Right? And that will result in being absorbed in the Lord. Does that make sense? So all these things that are considered technical, and nobody likes the second canto or fifth canto or parts of the third canto, these are all your ways to see Krishna and everything that is distracting you from Krishna, right? Because it's like this. The person who is always absorbed in Krishna, chanting about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, reading about Krishna, serving Krishna, he doesn't have any problem with the second canto or fifth canto and all that, because it's about Krishna. At the same time, as he doesn't actually so much need to apply it, because he's always absorbed, generally, more directly in Krishna anyway. Right? Now, the person who then is not in that capacity, then they're going to have a problem. They may have a problem with these other cantos because they're so mechanical and has to be so intellectual and all this and that. Seems very dry to them because they don't actually see how it connects to Krishna and how it will connect them to Krishna. And they're the ones that are observing more the material energy, more involved in the material energy. They're the ones that need to use it. Right? So the person who doesn't need to use it has no problem with it. The person who needs to use it has a problem with it. Right? So we should not be someone with a problem. Like that. We see it's whatever it is, whether it's in here, the Upanishads and the Bhagavatam, they're saying all the same things. They're not saying something different. Okay. Okay. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.4, the Supreme Personality of Godhead states, "All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without contradicting the truth." In other words, means they themselves, means they may be great personalities who are saying all these things, because there are persons who are distracted from the real goal of the Vedic literature, but better they're connected to the Vedic literature, because then the lifestyle and everything remains for those who are. Of course, it also creates problems, because everything's going to be a problem, but better there's a nice Vedic culture for the devotees to be able to function in. Right? Like that. So they could say these things and not be affected. So now, here someone may protest. This potency creates the material world independently, without the help of anyone else. Why must you postulate the existence of a supreme God? Right? Because those who are the materialists, they feel the material energy, you know, exists on its own, right? It functions on its own, right? Because they're either be good, be nice, you get the results of your activities, the material energy is supreme, or they say this is a supreme person, but then there is Satan, the whole material energy that functions outside of God's control. So in both of them, you know, are saying the same thing. In other words, the material energy stands on its own, so why do you have to bring God into it? Right? Because the others don't really want to bring God into it, because the place isn't going so nicely, so therefore you don't bring God into it. Right? Because if you do, then how could bad things be going on? Right? Does that make sense? So basically the common element is be good, be nice, get the results of your pious activities. Right? All the schools will say that. Though some schools will say, well, does it matter if you do good or bad, because, you know, do we actually exist and everyone's going to die anyway, so what does it matter? Right? You're going to get all this money, facility, you're going to die, so then what's the big deal? Right? Because they also don't know about future lives. The pessimists only know about this life. Right? So in any case, they just are dealing with what's happening right now. That's all. That's why they're all called materialists. Right? So it doesn't matter if it's karma or jnana, it's just materialism. So they're taking the material energy actually as independent and as equal or more powerful than the Lord. This is the conditioned mistake. To answer this protest, the author of the sutra speaks these words. Sutra 22. Matter is inherently inert, for it is neither alive nor conscious. When conscious life pushes it into action, matter appears to be live and conscious. So he's pointing out material energy is dead matter, so it's not alive or conscious, so there's no question of it functioning independently. Because the question is why do we have to bring the Supreme Lord into it? Material nature functions on its own. They're pointing out, no, it's dead matter and it's unconscious. So it's only when life deals with it, then it does something. Right? The knife will sit there, you know, and it'll never move. Why does it move? Because somebody imbued with life comes along and picks it up and uses it. Does that make sense? Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Matter is naturally inert, for it is neither alive nor conscious. It has no power to perform any action. When conscious life pushes it into action, matter appears to become warm with life. It is under these conditions that matter appears to act, becoming the creator of the universe. That is the meaning. In other words, it's not happening. Material energy isn't doing anything. But when it's pushed into motion by life, then it appears to be something going on. Right? It says, you know, appears to be warm with life. So nicely presented, right? Then, okay. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, quote, this material energy is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings, right? Under Krishna's direction. It's dead matter. It can't do anything. So only when it's pushed by life, so God is life, so therefore when he then, under his direction, then empowers the material energy, then the creation's going on. Otherwise, nothing could happen. It's dead matter. It won't function on its own. It's only God's potency and his direction and authorization that means things happen. Right? Does that make sense? In Aitreya Upanishad 1.1.1, it is said, with a glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created the material worlds. In Bhagavad Gita 15.14, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, I am the fire of digestion in every living body, and I am the air of life, outgoing and incoming, by which I digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. Right? So in other words, without the fire of digestion, then there will be no transformation of the energy that can be used by the living entity to actually live. So without Krishna, nothing functions. Right? That's why in the Ayurveda, actually the whole focus in Ayurveda is on your stomach, is the fire of digestion. Because all the diseases will create an imbalance in the digestion in a particular way. So you correct that imbalance, then you correct the health. Right? In other words, you go to the source. The source is actually the digestion, which means Krishna. So in other words, Ayurveda technically is worshipping the Supreme Lord in the form of digestion. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the particular form of the Agni, then you have a particular form of the medicine, which is Lakshmi, that is then applied. Right? And we can be instrumental in seeing that, you know, the medicine is arranged and all these different things made properly, taken properly. You know what I'm saying? So we assist, you know, Lakshmi in her performances of her duties to Krishna in the form of the fire of digestion. Does this make sense? Yeah. Okay. Just flies. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila 3:26:19 explains, quote, after the personality of Godhead impregnates material energy with his internal potency, material nature delivers the sum total of cosmic intelligence, which is known as Hiranyamaya. This takes place in material nature when she is agitated by the destinations of the conditioned souls. Okay, so that it says here he impregnates with his internal potency. Right? But the internal potency, in working with it, we actually see external potency. Right? In other words, the internal potency where you don't see Krishna, then that's Maya. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Just like you have a woman, she has a husband, right? You don't see her in connection with her husband, you think she's available. Right? So what you're seeing is actually an illusion. You know, so therefore all the attraction and this and that is all going on in the mind. But it's not real. Because she has a husband. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on, yes?
What about the dreams? Is it an illusion as well?
Like that.
For example, if I dream a big house, for example.
Yeah, but what is it made out of? It's made out of your observations of the day. You've seen a house, you know, you've seen something big, you're thinking about it, or, you know, whatever it may be. And so in the night it comes as a dream, as a big house. But it's just made out of the illusory perceptions of the daytime. Like that. So it's still the same. Right. Is this understood? So that's why it says he impregnates with his internal potency. This is Bhagavatam. Right? Then material nature then comes from the cosmic intelligence. Means all this, how you say? Hiranyamaya is this creative potency where the intelligence, then all the senses to be able to discern between things and everything like that. Because point is, if you want to enjoy the material energy, you have to have intelligence. Because you have to be able to discern enjoyable or not, right? So you're using intelligence, right? The baby comes into the world, so it starts picking up everything, putting in its mouth. You know, can it be enjoyed? Those things that are nice, that's, you know, put on the, you know, the good list, and what's not, then is, you know, not. Does this make sense? So slowly, whole thing like that. So it's saying this takes place in material nature when she's agitated by the destination of the conditioned souls, right? So when the conditioned souls come into the material nature, then the whole material nature starts to move, because all these living entities have a particular place within the material nature that they're supposed to be going, right? To enjoy the results or the fruits of their actions. Shankaracharya explains, it is the material nature that acts, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, thus Shankya, Acharya is explained, remains aloof like a lotus leaf untouched by water. Right? So he is a person. So what he's done is he impregnates with his internal potency. Right? So he and his potency are non-different, but at the same time he is different. Right? So through his potency, he impregnates the material energy, and so then everything happens here. He controls everything. At the same time, he is different. Does that make sense? Yeah. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-17, Lord Kapila explains, my dear mother, O daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature. All right, so that. So the internal potency is entering into the material energy along with the living entities and time, right? And the false ego, the false identity. So the false consciousness of the living entity that I am the controller and enjoyer, right? Then the living entities themselves and time. Because time means action. So that there's any action, there's anything can move, that's Krishna. Right? Fire is action. You know, so through that then everything is happening. So it's only through that it's only through Krishna as time that everything is actually able to function. In the Markandeya Purana, Devi Mahamaya, Brahma tells Parikit, tells Prakriti, you maintain everyone, you create the universe, you protect it, it enters you at the end. Right. So in other words, it's dealing with her, that she is actually the one running it, but has been pointed out by all these verses before, is that's only happening because of the Lord's potency. Right? Yes?
The material nature is dull and inert.
Yes.
That universal is
alive. Is not so inert and not so dull.
What is the
connection? Yeah, the material energy, but it says his internal potency enters it. Right? So that aspect of entering, that's a transformation of the internal potency. Just as Krishna transforms as Shiva, right, because of the false identity, so then naturally then his internal potency, or Rama Devi, would transform and would be manifest as Prakriti. You know what I'm saying? Not the dead matter, but the potency, you know, the internal potency that is dealing with the dead matter. You know, in other words, the living entities are an illusion. And so then the internal potency acting within the parameters of illusion then make everything work. So she's doing everything, I'm saying. But otherwise, here is dead matter, so she's the lord of the dead matter. You know what I'm saying? Maya's not dead matter. She's the lord of it. You know, it's mentioned here. Prakriti. You maintain, you create, you protect it, it enters you at the end. So it's all working with her. So in one sense there's a non-difference, but there's a difference. This is the internal potency, then her expansion is the spiritual world. So the internal potency transforms external, then the material nature. So it's all these things are very, very subtle. They overlap. That's the point, because there's only one energy. This is when they're annoyed, then they make this sound. He's having a bad feather day. Okay. So now, in the purport to Mantra 10, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The material body and mind are bad bargains for the spiritual living entity. The living entity has actual functions in the living spiritual world. But this material world is dead. As long as the living spiritual sparks manipulate the dead lumps of matter, the dead world appears to be a living world. Actually, it is the living souls, the parts and parcels of the supreme living being, who move the world. The deers have come to know all these facts by hearing them from superior authorities, and have realized this knowledge by following the regulative principles." Right? So it's actually the Lord means he's the one that is, his potency is making everything work. But why should it work? Right? Of what service is it doing for Krishna? Right? Because the internal potency serves Krishna very nicely in the spiritual world, so why would she need to be here to serve the Lord? Right? So because the living entities, they desire to enter into the material world. Their desire means you want to function outside God's laws, therefore you must be in, you know, the material world. Just like the thief wants to be in jail, right? Because you're working outside the laws, therefore when he actually is caught by the government, he's put in jail. Right? In his own mind he thinks, no, I just want to have facility. Yeah, so he gets. The government gives him nice facility, you know? He wants to eat and have a place to live and all that, so they give him. Right? So, the living entities, yeah, so therefore, the internal potency then transforming as this Prakriti then is able to create the facilities, because God then enters it in the primary creation. He enters everything as a universal form. And then all these forms are manifest, right, to basically serve those qualities. That makes sense. In the primary creation, you're creating the qualities of everything. You know, what is a mountain? What's a demigod? What's a human? What's a dog? You know, what's a river or a lake or an ocean? All those qualities that make them what they are, make them special. That uniqueness that they have, that is all of God's qualities. Right? They're not made of something else. So then, the secondary creation, then it will be manifest. Right, so all that is going on is arranged by the external potency. So she's doing all that. So that then becomes her service to the Lord. Why is that going on in the first place? Right, God likes it. So it's something fun to do. Go out and play in the mud or something. No, it's because the living entities want to be separate from the Lord and try to act in various activities for their own enjoyment. Right. So it's because of them, that's why it says here. Yeah. Actually, it's the living souls, the parts and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, who move the world. Because they want it. So because they want it, it's sanctioned. And then the Lord, through his potency, actually carries it out. But who gets the credit for it is the living entity. Because the living entity wants that. So therefore, it's arranged. So when the living entity doesn't want it, they're like the dheeras, then they understand it, then they don't take part. So then the movement of the material energy is not material anymore. Then you're dealing with internal potency, you're getting spiritual results. Does that make sense? So they're not actually part of this world, so they're liberated, even though they're here. just like Dhanakasura is conditioned, even though he's in the spiritual world. Right? He's in Braj, the spiritual world, but he's conditioned. So in the same way, the dhiras are liberated, though in the material world. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in this way, then, it's all being carried out by the living entity. Right? And it's the material energy that is knowing what to do, and with the Lord's potency, she's getting it done. So therefore, all the creation, everything's happening with her. But it's still the Lord's potency. That's what was being established, is that she doesn't function outside the Lord. But the only reason it's there is because of the living entity. So we go back to the last section, that the living entity is attached to the material energy, or focuses his love on the material energy. That is then perpetuates the material energy, the material life. But if he gives that up and turns his attention, focuses that attraction or attachment again back to the Lord, then he is liberated. So he's not here anymore. So there is no material world as such. Does that make sense? Right. So it's the same principle. The living entity changes his attachment, then there is no need of the material world. But because he does, that's why there is. So now we're discussing material energy. You know, but we can see is just as the soul is separate from God, is coming from God, is separate from God, right? It is inherently imbued with knowledge and happiness. So therefore, happiness means that knowledge means they're going to be endeavoring in some activity. Happiness means they're going to be endeavoring for some kind of happiness. So now they can do that in connection with the Lord, which is their natural position, or separate from the Lord, which is not their natural position. Right? And dealing with it separate from the Lord, then that is the cause of the material movement of the material energy. Right? Does that make sense? Do we see the connection here? Yes? No? Yes?
When Krishna transforms into Lord Shiva, what function does Lord Shiva play?
What function does Lord Shiva do? He basically is in control of the false ego, right? So the false ego is what keeps everybody in the material world. Does that make sense? Because of that, people are here. Like that. They don't have false ego, then they're not here. Their real ego, I'm servant of Krishna, why they need to be here. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's actually controlling the material energy. The living entities are acting because of their false identity. Right?
So he kind of covers them?
Kind of covers. Yeah, you could say, basically. Maya does that work, but I'm saying that concept, because you're dealing with consciousness, polluted consciousness, right? Then Maya is that manifestation of that polluted consciousness into the particular desires and forms of those desires. Right, being managed by the modes of nature. But the principle is beyond that. I want to be the controller and enjoyer. It could be anywhere. In fact, the living entity thought he'd be the controller and enjoyer in the spiritual world. Right? He didn't think that he would not be the controller and enjoyer there. Does that make sense? He thought that's where he's going to control and enjoy. And so then he's brought here. That's why the living entity is under the two illusions of Ananda Brahma and Vaikuntha Brahma. Ananda Brahma means he thinks this place is, the material world is a place of happiness. And Vaikuntha Brahma, it's eternal. Right? These are the two illusions. So because of that, then his knowledge then is material. And so his actions are material, and his results are material. It's eternal, so therefore he has his identities within the material world. Does that make sense? So you remove this. So that's why Bhagavatam says Dukkalaya Shashvatam. It's a place of misery and it's temporary. Because the living entity thinks it's eternal and it's full of happiness. That is the basic illusion that the living entity comes here with. So the living entity doesn't really understand that it's not the spiritual world. Otherwise, how could they go on? If they actually believed that this one lifetime was it, why would they work so hard? You know, probably gives the example, you have a house. If they say they're going to tear it down in, you know, a week or 10 days, are you going to go out, buy new furniture, repaint the walls, and, you know, take out the floors and put back in new floors and, you know, put in a new, you know, cupboards and, you know, oven? Are you going to do that? No. Right? I think it was at the last, how you say, what were those things called? Little spots in the suit. Perfectly round spots, like crop circles or something. Soot circles. That's amazing. Why are they perfectly round? Right? So, at the end of the previous, you know, how you say, Y1K, you know, we had the Y2K, so at the last, the Y1K, when that's when they thought it was going to be disillusioned, people stopped plowing the fields, wouldn't bring in their cattle, wouldn't do anything. Because the end was there, all they did was sit in their house, pray, that's it. And then when, you know, the day came and, you know, hellfire and brimstone and didn't destroy the earth and all that, then they're like, oh, okay, you know, and they thought, well, maybe next time, right? You know, went out and collected up all their cows and everything like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that no one's going to work. So it's because they're under the illusion that they're going to live forever and they're going to be happy forever. That's why they work. Otherwise, why would anyone work? So this idea, they say, oh, there's only one life. They don't really believe it. Maybe their determination, but inherently they're not working on that principle. Otherwise, what's the meaning? Okay. In the next sutra, the author shows that the illusory potency, Maya, is a prison for the conditioned souls. Sutra 23. The material world is like a prison where the souls hate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are confined. There the souls are bound with many shackles, such as the material bodies in which they dwell. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here the word sa means the material nature. Para means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ananuraktanam means they who, exercising their independence, have no love for the Lord and are fond of disobeying His orders. For such persons, the material nature provides a series of shackles, which begin with the material bodies in which the conditioned souls dwell. This is described in the following words of Katha Upanishad. They who do not love the Supreme Personality, 227, they who do not love the Supreme Personality of Godhead enter a mother's womb and again dwell in a material body. Some even become unmoving trees and plants. They attain different stations in life according to their past deeds, according to their thoughts at the moment of death. And in Katha Upanishad 221, it is said, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose heart is supremely pure, also resides in the city of 11 gates, that is the material body of the conditioned soul. In Bhagavad Gita 14.5, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains, material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. Bhagavad Gita 5.18, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcasts. In Katha Upanishad 224, it is said, the question asked, when the embodied soul becomes liberated and leaves his material body behind, who will control him? The answer is, the Supreme still controls him. In Srimad Bhagavatam 26.1, Lord Kapila says, my dear mother, I shall now describe unto you the different categories of the absolute truth, knowing which any person can be released from the influence of the modes of material nature. Okay, so now we're understanding that they're bound, and they're, the basic way is that Maya controls them. She controls them through different kinds of, how do you say, shackles. So basically we have the material bodies and the modes of nature, right? Modes of nature will create these bodies, but depending upon the bodies, then you'll move through the modes of nature in a particular way. So you're bound by the body, you're bound by the modes that are in, you know, naturally have their effect on that body. Right? So that's how the living entities, you know, stay, how you say, yeah, controlled and stay in this world. Does that make sense? So fertility.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Maybe you could talk to Shoghi's wife. Maybe she could contact you.